Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
SiriusXM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
What up, what up, what up, everyone? This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, world-renowned traveler and 10-year NFL defensive lineman, Lijae Doosable, and you know I got my guys with me. Former first-round pick of the Tennessee Titans in 2014. All pro corner for the Cincinnati Bengals, my guy, Adam Pac-Man Jones, and a Wynwood socialite, and has covered the Dolphins and the NFL for over 15 years as an NFL columnist, my guy, Omar Kelly. What's up, fellas?
Man, I ain't been a Wynwood socialite probably since the beginning of the pandemic. Had the pandemic.
Former Wynwood socialite?
Yeah, then I had a pandemic baby. But yeah, Pac, I used to be running these streets over there.
Get out of here. I don't believe it.
Oh, man, please. I was freshly divorced, Pac. I was out and about, brother.
All right, so what is out and about to you, Omar?
Good question.
It might be a little different thing to me.
Oh, yeah. No, it's different. It's different for you. I mean, I would hit 3 spots a night.
Maybe out more than me then.
Maybe the night with, I mean, sometimes if we go, if I'm out, because my friends know if I say we going out. But then if I put an extra out at the end of it, the night gonna end at the strip club.
Well, no, you gotta say we outside. If you ended up at the strip club, if you just out, you know what I mean, we might go get a drink or two.
Yeah,
but if we outside, you already know what it is.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and get into it. The Dolphins versus the Bills was must see TV on Sunday, and the game literally came down to the last play. Now, Miami shut down Josh Allen and this Bills offense twice in the final minutes, improving to 3-0 with a 21-19 victory that ended with Allen desperately trying to spike the football, but he ran out of time. The Dolphins defense did enough to stall Allen twice in the fourth quarter. The first effort, a goal stand that followed a go-ahead rushing touchdown by Miami's Chase Edmonds. Allen threw an incomplete pass on that fourth down from the 2-yard line, had a running back wide open in the flat. He just short hopped it to him, ending a 17-play, 8-minute drive. That is deflating when you have that many plays, take up that much clock, and come away with nothing. And seemingly, that was Buffalo's chance for a comeback win. Now, Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins went 3-and-out, leaving Morstead with a little room to kick the ball away back to the Miami Dolphins. We're calling this the butt punt. Well, he kicks it into Trent Sherfield, and they get a safety. Now, you know, the Dolphins still have a chance. They only need a field goal to win. But the Dolphins defense showed up big. Melvin Ingram had a hell of a game. He was able to track down Josh Allen and Isaiah McKenzie after he caught the ball, tackled him, laid on him for a second. By the time Josh Allen tried to spike the ball, the game was over. Now, Tua briefly left the game in the second quarter after returning after halftime, despite appearing to be disoriented by a head injury. The team clarified later that actually he had an issue with his back, which is kind of puzzling because I know earlier in the game he had a quarterback sneaking. It looked like he got rolled up and his back like it was hurting. But the play that was in question that happened in the second quarter, Matt Milano pushed him right and his back of his head hit the ground and he got up disoriented isn't the word. It looked like he was a boxer in the ring that got hit with a 3-piece combo. And if Teron Armstead wasn't there, I don't know if Tua doesn't hit the ground.
He fell to his knees. He fell to his knees.
Oh, that's right. He did fall. But Mike McDaniel actually talked about Tua's injury post game.
That was live speed action. Now Tua, he went out with a lower back, and that was hadn't had that rep with him yet. And, you know, he kind of got bent back pretty significantly on a quarterback sneak earlier. And so, you know, I was kind of with everyone else when he hit his head on the ground. I assumed it was a head injury. But his legs got wobbly because his lower back was completely and loose. And as he described it, it was like a he said his lower back, it was like Gumby or something.
Now, Mike McDaniel, I rock with you. I rock with you. You my guy, San Francisco. We were there together. But come on, man.
Come on, man.
His legs was wobbly because of his back. Did you just inject his back or something?
His back felt like Gumby. His back felt like Gumby.
What is that analogy supposed to mean, Omar?
Mike McDaniel isn't even old enough to remember Gumby, and neither is Tua. unless they're showing Gumby in Hawaii, Tua is not old enough to know what Gumby is.
We know, and everybody else know. Mm. Your back have nothing to do with your head.
No. And speaking of that, Pat, right? The NFLPA has told the NFL it wants to initiate a review of the league's concussion protocol following Tua Tagovailoa's return to Sunday's game. Now, the protocol sideline concussion assessment involves a 6-step process.
It's all bullshit.
That tests the player for no-go signs, a video review of the play, a review of concussion signs and symptoms, an inquiry regarding the history of the event, automatic questions, and a focused neurological exam. If any element, of the sideline assessment comes back positive or inconclusive, mm-hmm. the player must be taken to the locker room for a full comprehensive review. Now, they did take him to the locker room.
Yes.
We don't know what happened in the locker room, but
no.
Once you take him to the locker room, he must be accompanied by the team's best suited physician and an unaffiliated neurological consultant. Now, the investigation is expected to require 1 to 2 weeks to complete. So, hold on. Let me get this straight, Omar. Pac-Man. So, you're telling me they're going to do an investigation, but it takes 2 weeks. So, you're saying Tua is going to play 2 more games, possibly if he does have a head injury.
What they're saying is we're going to look into it to see if there's anything that we can do to improve the protocol, because clearly Tua suffered a concussion and lied his way out of it. Passed his concussion test, but did whatever was necessary to make sure that he escaped being in the concussion protocol, because that meant he wasn't going to play on Thursday night game.
Crazy. Now, Tua spoke about this, right? He said it was his back after the game and that he didn't have a concussion.
On the quarterback sneak, kind of got my legs caught under someone, and then they were trying to push. Felt like I hyperextended my back or something. And then on the next play, hit my back and kind of hurt, and then I got up, and then that's kind of like why I stumbled. My back kind of locked up on me.
Now, again, he didn't say he didn't have a concussion, but he said,
"Bose, can I say one thing, bro?"
Yeah.
This reminds me of our playoff game against the Pittsburgh Shitbird Steelers, and AB got hit by Vontaze Burfict.
Ooh, I remember that.
And he faked it.
Pat was out the next week, though.
He winked.
He was concussed. Pat, he was concussed.
He wasn't concussed. I'm speaking on the AB situation. He wasn't concussed, because you can tell when he winked. But everybody in the stadium knew that Tua was out of it. He was out of it. He got smashed. He couldn't even stand up. If he
everybody
didn't have a teammate,
knew it too.
Right. If he didn't have his teammate behind him, he might have fell down.
Oh, well, he did, but he might have been on the ground laying there for a while. And just to clarify, he never came out officially and said he didn't have a concussion. But just from how he was moving after, again, Matt Milano shoved him, the back of his head hit the ground. He got up kind of woozy, stumbled. Teron Armstead held him up, but then he went down and picked him back up. And then they took him to the locker room. So it'll be interesting after, you know, the NFLPA does this investigation. If they do find something, Miami's already been under so much scrutiny, right? They've lost draft picks. They've been fined.
Ain't nobody scared of the NFLPA. The Dolphins, is Tua going to be playing Thursday? That's all that matters. Because the truth of the matter is, if he were in the concussion protocol, he wouldn't play. Return to that game.
There's no way.
He's going to be playing on Thursday, because there's no way he can get clearance by Thursday. Yeah. So the Dolphins did what they had to do to remain moving forward and continuing this positive momentum they've got.
But, but as a team in the locker room, we talk about this shit. Hey, bro, you know we're going to need you next week. Suck this shit up and figure out how we can do
man
it.
Man telling this man to suck up a brain injury.
Listen, I know.
Hold on, dudes. How many of y'all
dudes,
lie?
Come on, bro. Like, you are not.
I know what you're saying, Pat.
So, what, no, you don't know what I'm saying. You tell me what I'm saying so the people can hear you explain to me, I mean, explain to them what we do in the locker room as yourself included.
Yo, it's a brotherhood, right? So if you can, if there's any way in hell that you can go, you gonna go. You gonna go. Like, but your team needs you. You 3-0. You got Cincinnati coming in on Thursday. Yeah. Tua, we got 10 days after this, bro. Hey, we just need you for this one game.
Hey,
and dude, is it right? Probably not. But you know, we got the warrior mentality. Guys want to go out there and compete with their brothers.
Did you ever lie about concussion or being foggy and say it was something else?
Bro, I ain't gonna lie. And you know who caught me? And I'm not embarrassed because this dude might be in the Hall of Fame one day. We're playing the Indianapolis Colts pack. This is my third year in the league or fourth year in the league. I can't even remember.
It's that concussion talking.
Yeah, on an interception, right? I'm going out to block. Reggie Wayne peels back. Now he don't even go for the ball carry. He caught me, bro. Feet in the air. I ain't even see him coming. I ain't gonna lie, Omar and Pac, I ain't know where I was at for about 30 seconds, but there's no way in hell I was coming out of that game. Because I needed my get back. You already know how it is. I need my get back now.
Yeah.
I don't even care about assignment football. I need my get back now. You know what I'm saying? I got to see you, you know, when the offense on the field again. And two, it was the last game of the year. So I'm like, bro, I can't be on the ground the last game of the year. I got the whole offseason. So I'm going back out here.
So what did you tell them when they were checking?
Well, the thing is, it was different back then, Pac. You know how it is. Like, the concussion thing, that thing didn't get really serious, I would say, until they redid the CBA, I would say, in like 2010 or 11. So this was like the 11. Year before that.
Your last year?
My last year was 18.
18, yeah, because it was serious by then.
What I'm saying. But I was only in like year three at the time. So it was that, you good? All right, go back in. That's what it was.
And it used to be like that. It's like, all right, here go you a smelly, go play.
Yeah, literally. That's how it was, Omar. I literally just went back in the game and finished the game. I caught him one time on the screen, but that was it. I had to go get my get back because I wasn't finna just go out like that. But getting back to the Miami Dolphins and Buffalo Bills game, like, this was the game that everybody was going to be in tune to, right? Because we wanted to see if the Miami Dolphins were for real, right? And Josh Boyer, I got to give you some credit, man. Yes. I mean, now Josh Allen still threw for 400 yards, right? They had the ball for 40 minutes. But, Pac, you know this, it's situational football. If you can bow up in the red zone and stop teams from scoring, all that us don't mean nothing, right? At the end of the day, you stop them from scoring multiple times in the red zone, and you did enough on defense to win the game. I mean, Melvin Ingram, I felt like he found the fountain of youth, man. Two sacks, fumble recovery. And a lot of people don't talk about this. He was the one that tracked Isaiah McKenzie down and tackled him in bounds. Because Isaiah McKenzie was almost near the sideline and getting out of bounds. So his effort.
Hold on.
This
let's say this. So Isaiah McKenzie, he can hear this because he played with me in Denver.
Mm.
Fucking horrible job, bro. Get your ass out of bounds. Stop doing all that dancing. He was tired, Pat. No, he could have ran straight out of bounds, bro. Don't give him no excuse. I'm quite sure today when they met, in the locker room, in the team meeting room, that was the biggest fucking emphasis on the game. Get your ass out of bounds. Stop the clock. We already in field goal range. All this dancing and going back inside dancing, like you about to go dancing, and score dancing. A touchdown. I just don't get it. And everybody, like, in those situations, you practice those situations during the week so you can know, hey, look, we know as a group, if we don't get out of bounds by the time that clock is before 8 seconds, the game is over. And the NFL, they tell you, you have 8 seconds to run a play.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's including spike and everything. Spike, that's like common sense, man. It's football 1-on-1. You should know that, especially if you're a pro. Shame on McKenzie.
Yeah. But I want to ask you this, Omar, right? Because, you know, you went back and forth. Me and you both agreed that we thought Miami would be maybe a 9-8 team. But are the Miami Dolphins for real this year?
Despite all their positive movement, despite all the success that they're having, overcoming adversity, and obviously the you can't say you pull off a victory against the Patriots, Baltimore Ravens, and the Buffalo Bills and not face any adversity. I mean, that's probably the toughest stretch to start the season that anybody's probably playing in the NFL right now. So, are they for real?
Hell yeah!
I don't think so. And here's the reason why I don't think so. I think the offense is for real, and I think the defense is showing signs that they can be good. What my concern is, I think their roster is paper thin. And I think once you start to get some injuries.
Oh, he's already putting that bad juju on them, Pat. He said once they get injuries.
I hate when y'all say it's bad juju. Y'all know this, it's 100% injury rate in the NFL. Yeah. You're only going to be as good as your weakest link.
Your depth, yeah.
And I tweeted this out in probably the first half when they lost Greg Little, who was their second team.
He was the backup guy, yeah.
And then they had to put Larnell Coleman, who was a guy I watched last year, a seventh-round pick who had no business being on the 53-man roster. They put him on the 53-man roster because of injury and then saw him suck it up in camp this year. And when he was in the game at right tackle, I said, game over.
It's done. Hey, Omar.
Yes, sir.
All that shit sound good, but I'm going to get on here and tell it. We need to be talking about the best wide receiver in the NFL. Like, that's what's going on in Miami. Like, this little guy that's five, whatever the hell he is, 5'7" in that.
Which one?
The fast one.
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
The best wide receiver in the NFL. Oh,
I said that. Hey, hold on. Y'all knows up.
Oh, he can't run routes. I said, okay. I can't tell because I'm just saying this is what not us as a group, because we said that they would win 10 to 12 games on I'm Athlete as a group. That's what we said. I'm just talking about everybody else. When he first went to Miami, it's like, oh, well, he don't run good routes. He's just fast. So this and that. Well, for everybody who is watching the Dolphins, everybody who is watching NFL football, this shit that this kid is doing is not normal. It's a lot of fast guys that play in the NFL.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah, but it ain't different. No fast guys that's 5'2", that's done what he's done right now. I mean, like,
yeah.
Nobody. Now, we thought they would be, we knew they were going to be good, but God damn, we didn't know the offense was going to be this good coming out of the first 3 weeks. Like, to me, and I'm a big Bengals fan, and I root and rant about how good they are. But, man, I don't know. The first 3 weeks with the Dolphins and the connections they have, I say they might do what the Bengals did. I know I was saying, I don't know. They look really good, and they look scary good.
Yeah, this is my thing. Like, so the Bills' defense, everybody knows, is really good. And they actually played good enough yesterday to win. Again, the Bills had the ball for 40 minutes. That means the Dolphins only had it for 20 damn minutes. But this is why I think the Dolphins can take that step. And Omar, we talked about this a little bit, right? This is football speak. Pac, you'll get this too. Last week, 3rd and 13, finds Mike Gesicki on a touchdown that literally gave them energy, gave them momentum to come back and win that game. This week, 3rd and 22 in cover 2, skinny post to Jalen Waddle. Everybody, Tua can't throw the ball down the field. He ain't got the arm. He ain't got the accuracy. Put that on the money. That is Tua growing up in front of our eyes, and that's why I think this team can take that next step, because if he's completing passes like that, going not like, you know, it's not – the moment's not too big. Right? Those are big moments, 3rd and 13, 3rd and 22. They convert those, man. That's what separates a lot of these quarterbacks from other quarterbacks in the league. And he's having those moments, and he's succeeding in those moments. So, I mean, this Miami team, again, Omar, I was like, man, you know, they may win 8-9 games. But the way they're playing, and, again, this defense can get hot. They got another big test Thursday versus Bengals offense. But if they can come out of that 4-0,
I'm nervous.
That AFC East crown might be up for grabs.
What the one thing I will say, Tyreek Hill is probably the most dangerous weapon I've ever seen on a football field offensively. And they do some creative stuff with him that opens it up for Waddle. I mean, Waddle right now is one of the NFL leading.
He might be the leading receiver in the NFL. It was him, Diggs, and Hill were 1, 2, and 3 before this last week.
And that's like, how you going to cover both of them? You can't. So you got to pick. Which way you going to get it. And right now they're giving it up to Waddle, who set a rookie record for receptions last year. and had an amazing season last year, and he's really turning it up right now.
Y'all know that Tyreek Hill is getting double every play. Y'all know that, exactly. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
That's why Waddle's been able to get off.
Yeah, but, like, and even, like, he's going to be backside one-on-one. He got to get off. Like, we talked about that on the show when we had him on I'm Athlete. But, like, Tyreek's still doing what he's doing, and he's getting fucking double.
Yeah.
Yep.
For sure. I mean, it'll be interesting to see, again, Miami short week Thursday. We'll see how Tua responds. And they said it's the back injury. We'll see, if he responds well and is able to play in this game. Also, that you talked about it, Greg Little being out, Austin Jackson. We'll see if maybe Austin Jackson can come back this game at right tackle. Highly doubt it because it's a short week. But, the Cincinnati Bengals defense got right last week versus Jets. Trey Hendrickson. Damn near 3 sacks by itself. So this will be a good test for this Miami team.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a bread head. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co. With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active cash.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Patrick Mahomes, Eric Bieniemy going into halftime had a bit of a disagreement, right? And it wasn't just them. There was a couple coaches that got into it with players on the sideline. But just going back to the Chiefs situation, Mahomes wasn't happy with the play calling. At the end of the first half, as the Chiefs walked off the field, he let his offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, know about it. The two exchanged words on the field before Coach Andy Reid came in and kind of settled them both down, stepping in between them. And this is what Patrick Mahomes had to say about his exchange with Eric Bieniemy.
Probably the smart decision was to just take it. We got the ball at a half. Let's just go to halftime. But I'm always going to be wanting to score. And, I mean, I pretty much just said, let me have a chance at it. And then he was just like, let's get back in our locker room and we'll get something going for the next half.
Now, Adam Pac-Man Jones, though.
Hell no, that ain't how it went.
No, this is what I'm saying. Omar Kelly, Pac-Man Jones, you paid this man how much? Half a billion.
Half a billion. And Eric the Enemy, if it was a real problem, Eric the Enemy ass would be out of there today.
You paid this man $500 million, but you don't want to give him a chance to maybe throw it down the field, throw a Hail Mary because he has the arm strength to get the ball to the end zone and potentially get more points before half. Adam, we know this. If you get the ball as halftime is about to happen and you score it and you get the ball coming out of half, that's a 2-for-1 special. Every offense wants that, and that's all Patrick Mahomes wanted, was an opportunity to potentially put some points on the board for his offense. And Eric Bieniemy said, no, let's go to halftime.
No, he didn't just say no. Did you see the video of them on the sideline?
It was a nice argument.
All right, so do it look like he just said no?
He probably says, I wish we could, somebody was mic'd up.
I hate to fucking tell Shady that he was probably 95% right, like he always say.
96.5.
No, he said 96.5.
Right. Whatever the hell it is, because I don't listen to half of the shit that he say anyway. But what I'm saying was, now, he got to be right about what he said about Mr. Eric, this guy. And like I said before, bro, this is a players-driven league.
Mm.
You, as a coach, even if you don't agree, you do not address the situation right there on the field. Your job is to be a leader. So suck up what you got to suck up.
Hey, yo.
When we get back to the locker room, then you can cuss me out or say what you want to say. But you don't do this shit to the half of billion. Like, come on, bro. Like,
yeah.
Are you serious?
And to your point, right? Me, Shady, and I think it might have been UPAC or was it B. Marsh were on a show earlier this year, I think all the way going back to May, right? Mm-hmm. And this isn't the first time we've heard, you know, Bieniemy has some issues with players. In fact, our very own LeSean Shady McCoy told us back in May, right here on I Am Athlete Tonight, about his issues with Coach Bieniemy. Here's what LeSean Shady McCoy had to say about Eric Bieniemy.
I've never seen a place where the coach, the offensive coordinator at that, is arguing and fighting with the superstar players. Now, I'm not even talking about myself, because in Kansas City, I wasn't the superstar that I was, you know, majority of my career. You know what I mean? Even players he's played with or coached with, it's like the attitude, and you argue with the players and fighting, and you're effing them out, you're cussing them out. People love to talk about how, you know, he's not getting a job because he's a black coach and this, man. I had a million guys text me about it. And that's not the truth, because anybody that's played for him, right, especially any player, especially on offense, they haven't spoke out like he needs a job. They know. They know how he coaches. That's simple as that. People don't know he's coached a lot of great players, right? Yo, I've never heard any of these players give him any credit. Mm. If I touch the backs, Jamal Charles, right? Kareem Hunt. Adrian Peterson. I could keep going. I don't ever hear, oh, man, he was such a great coach. He coached me well. I played with some old school coaches, right? I played with some guys that they might get on you, you know what I mean? Might say some words here and there, but this guy is, like, over the simplest things. Like, I watched this dude argue with this guy made fumble, right? Cussed him out. Guy may miss a block, right? He'll cuss you out not even knowing what's going on and then apologize later. So I'm saying, I just never seen nothing like that. You know what I mean? I played with some good coaches. Like, there's a lot of black coaches that deserve jobs, like Deuce Daly. He's a running back coach. I think he's very intelligent, smart guy. You know, coaches you hard, coaches you tough. But it's like a part of respect. You see what I'm saying? That's the only difference. When I was playing with him, I'm like, yo, man, listen.
Now, Adam Pac-Man Jones, again, our very own LeSean Shady McCoy talked about this back in May. And then we see that, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Bieniemy getting into it as they're walking into the locker room at halftime. Is this another example of what Shady was talking about?
Yeah, a big example. Shady said this before this even. This was fucking back.
It was in May.
Yeah, like, so certain things, you know, first of all, shout out to Shady. We love you, Shady. And certain things the Shady say, you know, we take it funny, but, you know, he's already always ready. And one thing I can say about Shady, he gonna tell you the truth. And 90% of the shit, he ain't gonna tell you the truth about everybody else, but he gonna tell you the truth about what he knows and what's right. So, but, like, at the end of the day, bro, like, this shit is uncalled for. That's first and foremost. Bruh, and hold on. And really, like, shut the fuck up. Andy Reid is the only guy that need to be talking to me.
That's how you feel? Mm. So you can't be coached by nobody else?
Bro, come on. We know.
Is that just Patrick Mahomes or everybody?
No, I'm just talking about as far as the quarterback position. Because okay. I'm quite sure that he's not in there in the protection needs. I'm quite sure he got somebody that's doing all the protection, meaning all of the pass plays. Now, he might be doing the running plays, like Shady said. But Shady smart. Shady been around the block. And at the end of the day, I think Shady took the high road out of that because he could have said more than what he said on air. Because from the stories that he told me, it's no way in hell I could have been playing there. And it without something being national televised news of me and him going into it. Because from my understanding, it's not just the offensive guy. It's just this guy has a low respect for players. And he talked crazy. Like, I don't know what the old generation was up to. I know how they used to be coached. But at the end of the day, like, yesterday's price is not today's price, and shit have changed. You can't say the shit that you used to say right now. Today's generation players, they 90% of them shit already rich before they see you, bro. You get what I'm saying? They like, we know, Bose. Like, how much coaching are you really doing at the pro level besides game scheme?
Yeah. And that's like, the problem. Ain't too many coaches coaching anymore.
Like, but at that level, like, you need fine-tuning guys that can critique you when you're taking days off. You high in your pedal. You should be a little lower. But it ain't at that level. There's no guy can tell me how to press because I've already been pressing for 20 years. Now, you can tell me different things that can help me in my press. Like, look, Pat, you're a little bit too close on here. That's why he keep fast releasing you inside. Back up a little bit. But it's nothing that you can really teach me to change my whole dialect of my game.
But that's Pac-Man 14 years in his career. You telling me Mike Zimmer couldn't have come to you and be like, hey, Pac, you fucking up right now.
It's ways to do that. And me and Zim had a situation, the Houston game. And he said some words that I didn't agree with. And you know me, Omar. I went straight to the sideline, to his face. I said, I don't know who the fuck you talk to like that. But don't ever talk to me like that. I chased him all the way down. This is no bullshit. And this is why me and Zim have a relationship, a father-son relationship. Because I know Zim loved me. And that ain't no question because Zim saved my life. Zim was the one who, I mean, when Dion got me here, Dion called Zim to get me here. And then that's the relationship between me and Coach Lewis. But Zim was the main reason why I got here. So I knew he loved me as a person. But as a man, like, it's only so much I can accept. And you only can talk to me in front of other people. In a certain tone. Now, if you get me to the side or after the game and chew me out, I'm cool with that because I know where it come from. But you ain't gonna MF me and tell me you sorry, da 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 da, without me saying something back. That's just personal.
And yeah, that was gonna be my next question, right? Because we see arguments often on sideline. Matter of fact, the Jets game, one got kind of heated between Quinnen Williams and the defensive coordinator. And I understand, I've been in that situation before too. We were talking about this off camera, Pat. Like, you paid all this money to the defensive line, right? And you go all out blitz, bring seven men, right? And leave their receivers one-on-one coverage, right? Ends up being a touchdown. So he asked the defensive, you know, the D-line coach, you know, put it on us. Let us get an opportunity to rush the quarterback. And maybe Quinnen didn't like his response to it, but Quinnen said, you're not about to be talking to me crazy. And they got heated. Where Coach Sala had to come over there and break it up. Other defensive linemen had to break it up. So, Pat, I wanted to ask you this.
Dumbass call.
Yeah.
Dumbass
like
call.
I've been in with Carl Dunbar, spoken a like guy I really love and respect. Me and him kind of got into it, and it wasn't as bad as Quinnen Williams, but I was like, Coach, man, we call all these damn blitzes, man. Let us rush. We got dogs up front. Like, man, we leaving guys out to dry. Let us and get after the quarterback. So,
yes.
Like, I get where Quinnen Williams is coming from. It's
me
common.
Too.
But I want to ask you, Pac, like, how common are these blowups on the sideline between coaches and players?
You know, I would try to keep mine's like private in between us. Now, in the locker room, I'll let your ass have it. I had a situation. This is no bullshit. We had a 4th-and-13. My last year in the league, I was playing with Denver Broncos. We was playing against the Chiefs. This motherfucker called an all-out blitz on 4th-and-13, right?
Oh, my God.
They catch the ball, boom, get kick a field goal, wins the game. We get back into the team room on Monday. I don't say nothing the whole time. I'm just listening to him. He's chewing out everybody, boom, boom, boom. I stand up. Joe, he's out. He's the coordinator for Cleveland right now. I say, hey, Joe, I see you around here talking about everything that we didn't do right against a top five offense. We was in the game. We was winning the game, actually. Mm-hmm. And what do you think about the play that the all-out blitz that you call on fourth down?
What was his response?
Hold on. What was the locker room response?
Von Miller was on this team with me. So, like, Von was, like, you know, the big dog to them. But really, to me, I was the big dog. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. But Von had been there. They had won the championship. You should have seen everybody do this like this. Look.
They can't see that on radio, Pack.
Everybody looked at me like, what the fuck? He really just asked them that?
He sure did.
2 seconds later, he said, you know what? That was a bad call.
Oh, okay.
Stood up in front of the team. This is why I respect Joe, though. He said, that was a bad call. I could have called a better call right there. But my point of the whole conversation is I waited till we got to the locker room. I waited till we got in a private setting because everybody don't need to know what the family going through. Mm. So as a coach, you're doing a fucking horrible job letting everybody know what the family going through. Because if it happened out there on Sunday, guess what's done happened before then? You think that's the first time that's done happened?
Hell no.
Yeah, no. You make a very valid point. That brings me to bad calls. And you're right, Pat. You should keep it in-house. You keep it inside the locker room. But you know what the number one thing that I hear or have conversations with players about?
What is that?
They will have the gripes about calls made during the game. That's the number one thing you oftentimes, other than, you know, we need to replace the quarterback, which is something I hear for two decades in Miami. Yeah. The number two quarterback is always everybody's favorite quarterback. But
that's just because you was in a bad situation, Omar. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I know. But listen, you'd hear complaints about why the fuck are we playing so much goddamn? Whatever it is, man coverage, we need to be playing zone. Are we playing too much zone? We need to be playing man. We need to be playing man coverage. Why are we not blitzing? Why are we not blitzing with this guy? Why, you know, and you hear these things and they bring it to you as a media member because they want you to ask those questions in, you know, these press conferences that you have with the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator. You know, why are we so ineffective with zero blitz? What, you know, what, why is this? Why are we single in this Tennessee guy? Yeah, exactly. And the fortunate thing is I don't feel like y'all as players have enough of an opportunity to hold these coaches accountable. Because let's not pretend like coaches don't make bad calls.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a good point, right? And well, that's the one thing I always respected about Rex Ryan, right?
It's different now, though.
Yeah, it also depends on your relationship with the coach that's making the calls, right? With Rex, he would always tell us, and I was one of those guys that could always go to his office and talk to him. If guys weren't comfortable, I used to tell everybody, Pat, you know how it is. On Friday after walkthrough, we all get together in the defense huddle. All right, what y'all don't like? What the hell we need to take out this game plan?
Absolutely.
And if you don't have you have a problem with it, let me know. If you don't like, if another guy don't feel comfortable, I feel comfortable enough to go tell Rex, hey, we ain't really rocking with this car, Rex.
And that's why you played 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but it's all about respect and relationships. Because we the ones that go make the plays on the field. So, like, if we're not comfortable with something, why the hell would you want your guys running the play they ain't comfortable with?
But, Bose, you got to earn that respect. Everybody can't do that, though.
Joe Blow, but that's why I used to tell people, if you don't feel comfortable, let me know. I'll go and say something. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's just interesting, right? You know, these coaches and players arguing on the field.
I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts. Hey there. I host a show called Therapy Gecko, where I dress up as a lizard and talk to anonymous strangers from the internet about their lives. They tell me their relationship problems.
I found out that was related to the guy that I was dating.
Their hobbies.
I collect my roommate's toenails and fingernails.
Their secrets.
When we did not have toilet paper, I would use the shower curtain.
And also sometimes kind of serious stuff.
I have anxiety when I talk to people.
I'm also sometimes joined by celebrity guests like Doja Cat, Lil Yachty, Bobby Lee, and Eric Andre. Some of the more interesting calls we've gotten recently include a guy who argued with a demon living on his wall, a caller drunk at his job at a middle school, and a caller wondering whether or not he should transform into a dog. So if you're sick of your own life and you want to get lost in the life of a stranger, search for Therapy Gecko wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.